Hey, Sharon here. Do you want to learn the secrets to closing more business and scaling your 401k practice? Well, you're going to want to listen to this. In this special three-part training series, this is lesson one called Differentiate. In this lesson, you're going to learn how to set yourself apart from your competition and build trust, credibility, and authority with a super simple formula that's proven to close more business. Now, I want you to go to 401kbestpracticelab.com/free-training-workshop because there you'll be able to download the workbook for this special lesson as well as a template that I talk about in this lesson. The only thing that's required is you to enter your email address so that I can send that to you. But again, 401kbestpracticelab.com/free-training-workshop. You can watch the video of this lesson there as I walk through the slides and get the downloads as well. This is the first of three free training lessons in this series, and this podcast episode will disappear on March 24th. So head to the website, get your downloads, and get ready for some pretty cool stuff.
Welcome to the Ask the 401k Experts podcast, where you get strategies, resources, and best practices for growing a successful and compliant 401k practice. And now, here's your host, Sharon Piverato.
Welcome to this free three-part training where I'm going to share with you the secrets to closing more business and scaling your 401k practice. Whether you're just starting out in the 401k industry and are trying to get your first plan, or you're considered a specialist already, this is the place to be. The place to learn some valuable marketing and service strategies that will help you close more business and scale your 401k practice. I'm Sharon Piverato, and I've been helping plan sponsors and advisors since I started as a Jones broker back in 1996. And this is the first in a series of three training lessons where I'll be teaching you how to set yourself apart from your competition and build trust, credibility, and authority. Now, I want you to write this down. This is probably one of the most important things I want you to understand. You need to have your own branded material that sells your services. Stop using provider branded material until after you're hired. Do not sell product. Sell yourself. I didn't always know this lesson. In fact, it was a really hard-earned lesson for me. Let me tell you a quick story. When I started as an Edward Jones broker in 1996, and I look young in that picture, wow, I was so green. I mean, I can't tell you, but I was eager to sell and eager to serve. My first year as a broker, I had an opportunity to compete for a local church plan in Oakmont, Pennsylvania. I had no clue about anything, so I did what you do when you have an opportunity to compete for business and you've got not a clue on how even to stand a chance. I called up my American Funds wholesaler. I still remember his name, Greg Weimer, at the time. He was a good guy, still is. He put together a proposal for me and gave me a full run-through on how to present it. I was excited. I felt confident. I love and still do the American Funds. And I knew from a pricing standpoint, because of their low expenses, it was a great option for the church. So I showed up to make the presentation and, well, the entire committee was there, 7 members. The entire board of directors was there, another 5 members, and the other advisors competing for the business were also there. I think one of them even brought the wholesaler to make the pitch for him. Like, it was my worst nightmare come true. Anyway, I stood up in the middle of the room, and back then, I had a great memory. Not so much today, which is why I'm using slides instead of just looking at you in the camera and talking to you. But I did then, and I delivered that presentation just like Greg had coached me on. I did great. I wanted the business because, well, I was just starting out, right? I needed the business. And I also wanted to help participants. My passion after getting out of the Army was to educate individuals and help them find diamonds like the American Funds where expenses were low and performance was consistent. This was my plan, and I really wanted to win this business. I waited and I waited to hear, and finally after about a week I got a call, and they told me I was not chosen as the advisor. But they went with an advisor that brought in an insurance product. Because get this, at the time the American funds didn't have retirement class shares, they only had A shares, and they didn't want to pay anything, considering the other advisor's plan was, and I'm using air quotes here, free. Yeah, I still feel the pain. Just telling that story, I get anxiety. I don't know. It hurt. I wanted to grab each and every one of those committee members and board members by the shoulders and just shake them and say, do you know what that's actually going to cost participants? Oh, it's frustrating. Anyway, fast forward a few years. After having moved from Edward Jones to National Retirement Partners, NRP, and studying how the top advisors compete for plan business, I created a winning formula for closing more plans that allowed us to stand out from other advisors while at the same time building trust and credibility and authority. And before I transitioned from advisor to teaching advisors exclusively, basically we won every plan that I went in on with this presentation. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. The formula is part of the pitch book template I'm going to give you. You can download it and print the full template. Do that now. There is a workbook and the pitch book template right below this video. Make sure you print the workbook so you can take notes. I don't know that I'd print the pitch book. There's a lot of pages. I'm giving you the color or the black and white option so it's not too heavy on the ink cartridges for you. But print the workbook at least so you can take notes and download both files and then follow along and use that workbook as a roadmap for creating your own winning pitch book. So the goal of this lesson is to show you the critical things that you need to do so you don't sound like everyone else. You want to be able to build authority and credibility and trust, three things that are essential to growing your business. Here's what I learned and what I want to share with you. This is how you differentiate yourself and get plan sponsors to hire you and the value you bring to the table. When you're able to get them to trust you and hire you, then you can bring in any provider and they'll trust your decision because they put their trust in you. Make sense? So let's get going. Let's take a look at the formula and talk about how to use it. No matter what plan you're competing for, the strategies in this formula can help you in all aspects of your marketing, not just in a finals presentation. So this is the winning pitch book formula, and there are five essential elements to it. The first one is, before you start talking about you, you need to talk about them. So it's their needs. Recap their needs and problems that they want or need help with, and how you'll help them with these specific issues. The second one is your service model. Outline the services that they'll receive, and you usually want to do that in a visual way, and I'm going to go through each of these steps in detail. The third is your unique advantage. That's where you showcase your expertise and help them see why they should hire you. And then there's next steps. You want to give clear, specific steps of exactly what's in the process, from engagement through onboarding, I say through the end of your first 12 months. And then make sure you've got your agreements ready, your fee and service schedules, your disclosures, your engagement contract, anything that you need to actually have that business signed over to you, have it with you. Because even though they might not make a decision on the spot, if they've got those documents, then they're not waiting for you to come back and deliver them and then them to take time to review them. They've got it all there. So those are the five essential elements, and the order in which you do them is important. And again, I'm showing you in the framework of a pitch book, a finals presentation, but these five elements need to flow throughout your entire sales and marketing, whether it's your online profiles, your website, conversations that you have. You always want to lead with what's important to them before you start talking about you. And you always want to make sure that you've got a solid process and a clear action plan for them so they can see what being a client of yours will look like and then be prepared. So let's dig into this a little bit more. First, when we talk about their needs. As I said, this is where you recap their needs and problems and the question I get from a lot of advisors is, what if I don't know what their concerns are or their challenges are? What if I'm going in there cold? How do I use this? What I would say to do is, what issues can you identify? Can you see from doing your research what kind of funds they have, what kind of expenses they have? If you typically work with startup plans, you kind of already know the things that they need the help with most. So in this section, you can say, here's what the most common challenge is and how we can help you with that. Here's what we've identified are the things that most plan sponsors like you need help with. Ideally, usually when you're at the pitch book presentation stage, you've already got all this information. You've had a conversation about what's important to them, their needs and challenges. But once you've identified those things, you want to make sure that you approach it from the standpoint of what are one, two, or three things at the most that you can do to solve those biggest issues first. And what are the specific solutions to just those specific issues? You don't want to go in there with your whole briefcase, your whole toolbox, with all 20,000 things that you might be able to help them with. In this first section, this first conversation that you have with them, you want to talk specifically about the number one or number two item that's important to them and how you can solve it. The second thing you want to do is outline the services they'll receive, how your services can help solve those issues, actually. How can your services help solve those specific things that you just talked about? And what I would say is, you want to explain those services using a kind of a baseline set of, here's what you should get from anyone that you're considering helping you with your plan. And when you do that, it sets the buying criteria and it helps them eliminate those who don't offer that minimum set of services that you list in that section. And as you maybe open up in a new tab and you look at the winning pitch book template that I've given you, you can see how it's listed that these are the basic services that anybody that you're interviewing to hire for your plan or considering for your plan, they should be able to offer these basic services, and list the services that are part of your service model in there. And if you have things that are above and beyond, list that too. But here's the thing, when you're talking about this with plan sponsors, it only works if you explain why that service is important. They have to understand it. Just to say, here's what you get and what you should get, is not enough. You have to tell them why that's important, why not having that covered could be a detriment to them. So make sure you explain the why and how it benefits them to have that covered. And then make sure you've done your research and you know what the typical fee is for a plan that offers those services. One, so you're competitive. And two, so later on when you come back in the presentation, you'll see in that winning pitch book template, you can compare the average fee with what you're charging and any additional services you might be offering, so you can show them how it compares and how you're competitive. This is the last bullet point on this slide, but in my opinion, it's one of the most important. When you're talking about your service model, you want to plug your services into a step-by-step process, a framework, really. A framework is something that you can do over and over again for any client to ensure consistency, to ensure that everybody's getting the same quality of service. And when you've got a process in place like that, it provides confidence to plan sponsors. It helps your practice too, because it provides economies of scale, and you're able to do things more efficiently when you use the same process for all of your clients. But having that step-by-step process and being able to explain what that process is a great way to differentiate yourself. And if you can name your process, outline the steps in your process from onboarding through the first 12 months, and even give that package of services a name, that goes a long way to demonstrating value, to showing value, to sounding more valuable, actually. There's a lot of things that it does when you have named a process and it's unique and it's something you offer and nobody else does. Everybody can offer fiduciary support, but maybe not everybody's got the fiduciary indemnification program or the plan fee optimizer. Think of how you can name the process that you offer so that it's unique and different than what everyone else is offering. Talking about your unique advantage, this is where you showcase your expertise and help them see why they should hire you. And as I go through these things, if you don't have these, then I would suggest that you consider getting them. Because you're not really an expert just because you say you are. There are certain things that you do that help you build credibility, that give you authority, that build that sense of trust with plan sponsors. And so looking at this list of things that I've put up on the screen, credibility builders. Do you have specific retirement credentials? If you do, in all of your marketing and especially your pitch book, you need to list them. If you don't, you need to get one. 401k plans are not the kind of business where you can, you know, bring your wholesaler in, hope they win the plan, and maybe you'll learn it as you go. That is not doing plan sponsors a favor. It's not doing you a favor. And you really need to be educated if you're going to work with retirement plans. So list any credentials you have. If you don't have any, get some. On the 401kbestpractices.com website, you can download a free designation and comparison credential and comparison guide that lists all of the different designations for professionals that work with 401k plans. That's a great start. Any memberships that you have? Are you in NAPA? Are you in ASPA? Do you know what those acronyms mean? If you don't, type them in Google. You should know what they mean. They're great organizations for 401k service professionals, sales and service professionals. Have you won any awards? Obviously, if you're the plan advisor of the year, you're going to put that on your website. You're going to put that in your marketing. But think about different things that you might have accomplished in your career as a 401k advisor. Do you have any published works, published articles in industry publications? Those are things that build credibility. When you can show that you have experience, whether it's education experience or practical experience, they all go to help build credibility for you. Instant authority builders, if you can get permission from your clients to use their logos and your compliance department to use their logos, that's one thing you can do. Now with the SEC changes in advertising, you can consider testimonials or case studies, logos of different platforms or providers that you work with, that are well known in the industry or give you an advantage, are things you could possibly use. And then the trust builders are things that really people get to understand who you are. And they build trust with you not because of the expertise. Trust is built because of who you are as a person. Do they think that credibility is one thing, but trust is another? It's a lot harder to earn trust. Some of the things you might list that would make somebody see you more as a human than as a salesperson. Does your company participate in charitable events? I see a lot of organizations in the 401k industry that as a team, they participate in fundraisers. That's one thing you could list. And I think another big one is just what your missions are, what your company mission is, what your values are. What do you believe in, and why do you believe that? And what does that mean to them? How does that benefit them that you've got such strong health beliefs about helping participants or keeping plan sponsors, you know, safe from compliance? Whatever your missions and your mission, your values, what's your why? That's something that you can include in this section as well. The last two sections kind of bring us home. The fourth one, next steps. This is where you want to make sure you give clear, specific steps of exactly what's next in the process. And when I say exactly what's next in the process, I mean, if they were to say yes right there on the spot, what would happen? Exactly what the next step is. If you were to engage us, first thing is we do A, next thing we do is B, next thing we do is C. From onboarding to first appointment to gathering documents to signing forms to meeting with your client liaison to whatever it is, will their quarterly meeting, their service schedule look like? Explain all of these things. What is the onboarding process? What is the service schedule and how often should they expect to meet with you face to face or virtually? The reason this part is so important is because the more organized you are, the more it appears that you have your stuff together. A clear set of onboarding steps, a clear service process, the more likely they are to believe you that you can deliver what you're selling. Okay, and then the last step, agreements. You want to provide your fee and service schedules, your disclosures, your engagement contracts, provide a copy of all that. Because if they were to say yes, or how about if they were not to say yes, but maybe next time they call you, they say, we'd like to hire you. What's the next steps? They've already got all the documents. They've already had a chance to look at them and see them. So don't leave that out. Don't assume that they won't hire you on the spot. Chances are they won't hire you on the spot. But don't make that assumption. Make the assumption that they could very well say yes. Let's sign the broker of record form and let's do this. So be prepared. All right. So those are the five essential elements to this winning pitch book formula. And really, it's more of a formula for having sales conversations when you do these things in this order. Every step in here is going to help you raise your credibility. It's going to make you sound different and unique. And having that process, having that service model, having the next steps clearly defined, all goes to build credibility and professionalism because it looks like you're in the business, you're in it to win it, you know what you're doing, and it provides a tremendous amount of authority, which leads to trust. So, a couple of do's and don'ts before we wrap up this training. I started this at the very beginning and I'm going to repeat it at the end because it's that important. Don't pitch product. Pitching a product is basically selling a commodity. That finals presentation is not the place to pitch a specific product solution. Once they engage you, then you can interview them. You can help them decide, help them identify a best fit solution. But don't pitch product when you're going in there trying to earn their business. You want to sell yourself and your unique advantage. As you move up market, your service model becomes a commodity because everybody's going to be offering investments in benchmarking, employee wellness, and plan design. You win when they see the value that you provide. And then finally, as much as I would like to say you can go in and have a conversation with the plan sponsor, and within 30 days you've got the plan, that is not typically how it works. Very seldom is there a situation where they're ready to change brokers. More often than not, there's a huge process, there's providers involved, and it's a long sales cycle. Not just the process itself takes long, but the decision-making is really where the patience comes in. You have to be willing to understand that this is a long sales cycle. You have to build the relationship with them. And hopefully, if you're at that finals presentation stage, you're a little bit closer to the decision, but you also want to have a solid follow-up plan to keep in touch so that you can add ongoing value and stay top of mind. So when they are ready to make a decision, you're there and ready to help them. Now, before we wrap up, there's one important note I want to make. Your pitch book doesn't have to have everything you see in that template. It's about the formula for what you present in what order. Just because maybe you're in the micro market or trying to get a startup plan doesn't mean you don't sell yourself and your services the same way. Let them know you understand the needs of a small plan. Explain how you help startup plans. Tell them what makes you most qualified to do it. Let them know what the next steps are and have your legal documents ready. See, so it's really about having an effective sales conversation regardless of your market. This is marketing. This is selling yourself while addressing their concerns and needs first. So there's more to it that you need to know about. So in the next video, we're going to cover how to be seen as the expert and educator. It's a lot easier than you think. And how you can use those skills to get leads and offer tremendous value to your plan-sponsored prospects and clients. And if you like getting these valuable templates for free, like the winning pitch book template, definitely check your email for when the next lesson goes live, because I'll be giving you the PowerPoint version, not just the PDF, but the PowerPoint version template in the next lesson. So you can really swipe that one. But right now, I want to know a little bit more about you. What does closing more business mean to you? Shoot me an email at Sharon at 401kbestpractices.com and let me know. Or better yet, I love new technology. Just click on that little talk button in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen and send me a message. I am on the other end of that. I don't have a whole big team. Nobody's monitoring that but me. I would love to hear from you. That's a private conversation between you and me. Let me know what you think. I want to hear from you. What did you think? And of course, if you like this lesson and found it useful, I would love it if you'd share it with somebody who you think could benefit from it as well.
If you want more resources, strategies, and best practices for growing a successful 401k practice, be sure to subscribe to the Ask the Experts podcast in iTunes so you don't miss out on new ideas from future conversations. Then be sure to visit the main site, 401kbestpractices.com. When you enter your email address to join the 401k Best Practice community, you'll get access to my most advanced strategies and resources to grow and protect your 401k business. Again, that's 401kbestpractices.com.